Oh, it's a bombshell. That's not quite the same thing as a bloodbath, but it's not to be confused. It is the news, according to me. Hey, it is the second day of May, Thursday, 7:20 a.m. And I'm in a rush. I've got Eastern Standard Time. I am at the home studio this morning. As suspected, they didn't use me for anything at all yesterday. It was a close call, but they didn't use me. I got plenty of chai for a little while. I'm going to order some more of that. That's for sure. Because it's good stuff. And I also have my backup sweet tea as well. Good week. It's a good week. Yesterday was a good day. They didn't use me. I got some things done. I got to go to the boat for a little bit and tinker around there. I just kind of basically took stock of everything I've got to do today to get the boat in the water tomorrow. I got a couple of buddies that are putting their boat in today, so I got to help them a little bit. Probably, you know, mostly just talking and distracting them and slowing them down. Pretty much is all I do. But it's just who I am. It's just, that's part of my job. It's part of my calling in life, to slow other people down. I have, much like I'm doing with this show, what would you be doing if you weren't watching this show, listening to, or if you're watching this show, you're not, you know, it's even worse because all you're doing is hearing it. You're just looking at the whatever device you're listening to. If you're sitting there looking at it, I hate to tell you this, but that's a pretty sad life. Hopefully you're just doing something else and listening to this. Hopefully you're doing something productive, I should say, and listening to this. Or maybe you're just playing it just to, and not even in the room with listening. It's just, you're just playing just to kind of entertain me. I mean, I don't know what your motives are. I just know I got a little cat running around here. This morning I had a little interesting issue. For those of you who don't know, I normally eat Wheaties every morning when I'm home. And so I made my Wheaties. And usually my routine goes like something like this. I get up, the dogs get me up, or the cat. This morning it was both. I swear they know how to tell time. We normally feed them at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the evening, mostly because there's medication involved and it's supposed to be every 12 hours. And my dog starts barking, laying in the other room, just laying there barking at 6:05 a.m. Doesn't give me a break. Doesn't realize I'm on vacation. And apparently, the cat decided to start he's going to chase a bug around the house. And so I'm not sure what kind of, I think it was a little moth or something he was chasing around the house. One of the cats. The upstairs cat. We have an upstairs cat and a downstairs cat, apparently, now. That's their territory. The downstairs cat is very sweet. But it's the upstairs cat's kind of he gets ornery. But I get up to feed the dogs. First thing I do is I take them outside, let them do their thing. They come back inside. I give a little bit of food to the big dog who has to have some of the medication. I give a little bit of food to the little dog just so he doesn't feel left out. Put some food in the cat's bowl. Cat gets dry food and wet food, canned food. And of course the dogs also get, well, I think I need to get the cat down. The cat apparently has decided to climb up something. It's climbing up the side of my studio. Not sure what that was all about. So I have, and that's the sweet cat. They're all going crazy. I let them back in. I give them the food with their medicines and all their stuff like that. They have a little, you know, Cosequin, all the little stuff for their old age. And I get my old age stuff out. I get my vitamins out, put all that stuff out. Get my Wheaties ready to go and pour my milk on them. So I don't really like crispy Wheaties. I like kind of a little bit soggy. So I pour them before I do my vitamin stuff. Let the dogs out again, because once they've eaten a little bit of something, they do their business again. Sometimes they eat some dry food in between there, but they go back outside again, typically do some more peeing and pooping, whatever they do. I don't know. I don't keep track. That's their business. And then I Actually, I do keep track because I want to make sure they do it outside, not inside. So once that's all done, they come back in and they get these little dentist stick chew things. They're just like a little snack for rewarding them for doing what they do. I don't know. Then I eat my breakfast. I take my vitamins first, and then I eat my breakfast. Make my water hot while I'm eating my breakfast, and then I can make my chai. That's the way my morning goes. And sometimes I'll let them out one more time before I come down here. Make sure that the other cat has, make sure all the cats have food. Then I start my show. I don't know why I was telling you all this. This started with something, I can't remember what it was. But now you know, that's how my routine goes. Oh, I remember why, because it has to do with the cats. I was, so I just had to take a sip of chai. I ended up, I was doing all my stuff. Well, today I put my bowl of Wheaties on the table, it's kind of a weird situation, but we actually have the cat food, the canned food for the cat is actually up on our kitchen table. I know it's weird, but he likes to eat up there and it keeps the other dogs from getting to it. So we put it up there and he normally doesn't jump up there. I usually have to put him up there. He doesn't just jump up there on his own typically. So I didn't think much about it. I just put my Wheatie bowl down there and was doing my thing. And I had some other stuff to distract him. I had to try to mess around with some other things and turned back around and looked over. Now the cat food was up there. I said, I know the cat was licking my Wheaties. Of course, that didn't stop me from eating them, but I had to shoo the cat out. Now, the cat went off and ate his own food, and it was fine. Then he jumped down. He was fine. But in the meantime, I had to eat cat saliva out of my Wheaties this morning. So if I start doing any strange meowing or purring, licking my hands and trying to clean my head, that explains it. I got a little DNA. Little cat DNA in me. anyway, there's a bombshell deal that just came out. And of course, not too many people are reporting this. And I was kind of surprised that Robert Gavea hadn't really said much about it. And I'm not a lawyer. I'm also not a doctor or a financial counselor. But Robert Gavea, and I haven't heard his show from yesterday, but I know I didn't get to hear his live broadcast. His live podcast, whatever. Yesterday, I tend to listen to it when I can in the evenings, but I do intend to listen to it today. My way up to, I got about an hour long drive. His show takes about almost 2 hours if you include all the stuff he does with his listeners at the end. He answers questions and stuff, but I usually play it in 1.25 time, or sometimes 1.5. So I can listen to a 2-hour podcast in just over an hour. But it was interesting stuff, because here's what happens. This is kind of a bombshell deal. And is it Kanan, whatever her name is, whatever the one judge over this, or kind of overseeing this stuff, is doing. And she's highly responsible for a lot of the releasing a lot of redacted material. Well, some of this redacted material wasn't being redacted for sources and methods. Well, sources and methods, yeah, because they were trying to cover stuff up. That's what they were doing. They were trying to protect themselves. Their methods were highly illegal, highly unethical, at least, in my opinion. And one of the things that happened here that we all of a sudden find out when this redaction stuff starts, well, first of all, Jack Smith he's just a puppet of this administration. There's no question that this guy is acting. Of course, now there's been a couple of suits filed from one of Trump's right-hand men. I can't think of the guy's name. And he was kind of one of the head guys that they were questioning initially with the FBI. And then, of course, he found out that President Trump was under investigation. He was the target of an investigation. When they say target of an investigation, that means you are actually the target of the investigation. Everybody around you is now surveilled. I think they can go too deep with that, too, as in T-W-O. So if I'm the target of an investigation, they can, of course, they can go, they can surveil my wife, but they can also surveil anybody my wife talks to. If I talk to my nephew, they can surveil anybody my nephew talks to. Or any conversations he has with anybody. If I have a conversation with anybody, they can now surveil those people's conversations. It's ridiculous. You stop and think about it. They can't go beyond that. So now if my nephew talks to somebody, they can surveil his conversation, but they can't surveil person, if my nephew is person A, they can't surveil person B. But they have person B on record because he talked to my nephew. It's crazy stuff. It's the nuttiest crazy stuff out there that they can get away with this kind of thing. And they can do all this with a secret warrant. This is because, you know, a FISA warrant can do all this stuff. Or just, you know, whatever. You don't know that you're a target of investigation. So what's happened here is, in the process of all this, in this discovery, and some of the things that have been unredacted now, is we find out that NARA, the National Archive Records Administration, the head librarian. See, this whole presidential documents thing, they're all this screaming about, oh, he had top secret documents, classified documents. Yeah, he did. Well, because some of those things he created, it's things that he knows that he made documents. If the president makes a note about something and it happens to be about classified, that's a classified document. You have to understand, the president is the top of the, he's the head of the executive branch. He is the head law enforcement officer. And one of the things that you have to realize here is that he does have absolute authority. If the president wants to come out and now there are some things, I guess, that they claim are highly sensitive to the point where it would do damaging to the country if you released this information. And, you know, because of certain secrets about what we're able to do, or what, you know, nuclear capabilities, whatever it is, weapons capabilities, strategic capabilities. However, it is, in theory, the president could share any of that with the American people, and it would not be a crime. It's just not recommended. It's not, you know, be considered highly unethical, highly dangerous for us, and he'd be putting our nation in jeopardy, supposedly, by letting us know those things. Because if we know, the enemy knows. Whoever the enemy is, whoever they tell us the enemy is today. So we have, national security issues. So we have all this stuff going on with NARA now saying that he had classified documents, highly sensitive classified documents. Well, here's one of the problems. This one guy, the one main guy who was after Trump with the whole boxes thing, the one guy who was basically subjectively very upset about the whole situation and decided to act on it by sending in the FBI, doing the raid. Almost a year prior to the raid, NARA sent Donald Trump documents. And guess what those documents were? They were the top secret classified documents that they were screaming about. Now, this guy that was that's all bent out of shape about the whole thing, that guy, the main guy who's behind the whole instigator of the raid and the whole thing, Leo somebody, I think was his name, I can't think of his name. He claims that there's 24 boxes or somewhere around there. It's a pretty high number. I think it's 24 boxes that have vanished, disappeared. He doesn't have any evidence that those boxes existed, but he's pretty sure there's 24 boxes that Donald Trump destroyed. He has no evidence, no witnesses, just a speculation. Now, stop and think about that. This is a typical thing the government likes to do. They did this to me once. The IRS was after me one time. I had shut my business down in 97. I had a business I shut down in 97. End of 96, beginning of 97. They claim I kept doing business. Well, you're still doing business. We think you still have employees. We think you still have, you know, all this stuff going on. But you're doing business. And we're going to base this on your highest. At one time, I had 8 employees. It was back in 94. I had my highest in income. At that time, it was about $500,000. Gross income with the business. Back in 94, that was quite a bit of money. But I spent about $500,000. I mean, it was, you know, I think I actually lost money that year. I might have made about $12,000, I think, if I remember right. But I didn't feel like I made any money. But I was building a lot of equity in the business. I mean, everything I was making, I was putting back in the business. We were expanding like crazy in 93 and 94. Started with one airplane in 92, had a flight school. By the end of 94, we had a total of 8 airplanes. All kinds of different airplanes. We're doing all kinds of business. I've had an instrument simulator trainer, multi-engine airplane, aerobatic airplane, several rental airplanes, twin-engine airplane. Yeah, we had all that stuff. Operating off of 2 different fields, 2 different airports. Now, in the midst of all that, there was a lot of outpay, and there was a lot of tax withholdings, a lot of, you know, management going on. I basically, at that point, I felt like I turned into a babysitter more than a business operator, managing people more than I was doing any teaching. But when teaching was what I really wanted to do, so we had an interesting. By 96, there was other things going on in my life, and the economy at that time was a little bit screwy. If you remember right, this was during the first Bush administration. I'm sorry, no, the Bush administration was just ending up. This was going into the Clinton years. And, of course, we had the dot-com boom was happening. But there was also this other sagging part of the economy that started to happen in his second term. In 96, things were getting a little faltering. It wasn't bad, but it was, you know, things weren't all that great. In the aviation world, anyway. And so I was doing other things. I was actually moving on to doing, you know, corporate flying, just working a regular job. I kind of got tired of doing the business management thing at that time, at least that kind of business. A lot of liability, a lot of, you know, just money coming in, but money was going right back out. Wasn't a whole lot of fun. So I got a job where somebody else was just paying me to show up for a while. So I ended up doing that. Got a couple different jobs, kind of moving your way up started flying jets. And then I ended up getting my, you know, by 98, end of 98, beginning of 99, I had a pretty decent job. I ended up getting more in the corporate world, flying a jet. But the IRS at that time decides they're going to come after me and tell me that I was doing business. I think it was well into 2000. They were claiming I was still doing business. And they were basing all my income on my 94 income levels. So this is at the time when I started walking into the office, and I was actually talking to them there. I was just going down right into the belly of the beast, and letting them know that this, you know, I'm not going to put up with this. And so I ended up filing, because I had somebody else helping me. It was kind of a self-help type place where they would kind of tell you what to file and you kind of do it on your own. And so I went in and I had this one paper. It was just a single sheet of paper. Filled it out. I was going to send it in. It was to keep them from taking any action. Well, I walked in there. They're like, well, we believe you're still doing business and you still owe us this much money. And we're going to keep charging you, you know, fines and levies based on this amount of money. It was getting over $100,000 in the six-figure range. Which I actually probably only owed them about $8,000. They kept coming at, which I didn't have either, but it's by the side point. They were coming after me for all that. Well, I said, so what? How do I prove I'm not doing business? Well, you got to show us receipts. You got to show us all this stuff. I said, well, show me that you're not doing business. How would you go about proving to me right now that you're not doing business anywhere? What could you show me that would tell me that you're not doing business? So I don't have any receipts because I'm not doing business. I don't have any filings or forms or anything that I don't get up every day and say I'm not going to do business today. And I have here's my receipt. Here's my amount that I took in today on the business that doesn't exist. I don't understand how I'm supposed to do this. How do I prove this that I don't that there's something that doesn't exist? They had a little conversation for about 15 minutes amongst themselves and they came back and said, okay, we're going to drop all this. Just basically, this is all we want from you. We just want what you originally owe, which was about $11,000. I didn't even agree with that. But so I still filed the paperwork. Well, we're not taking any action on you right now. So I'm still filing the paperwork. As soon as I saw that they didn't want to take that paper, I demanded they take the paper. I realized that was giving me some kind of power because they didn't want to take it. I didn't have to make a trip back there. Because this was a paper that was going to stop them from taking any action. If I wouldn't have filed it, they could have at any time taken action. We're not taking any action right now. Well, not right now in this minute, but as soon as I withdraw this paperwork, you're going to take action tomorrow. And then it's too late to file the paperwork. That sets a whole new thing in motion. So I ended up getting that kind of reduced. And this is the way they do stuff. Well, come to find out, NARA sent Donald Trump these documents almost a year ahead of time. This whole thing was a setup from the beginning. This is their standard MO. This is what they do. This is just like the same thing with the dossier and everything else that they do. And the thing that they can't stand about this guy, Donald Trump, is he doesn't care. You threaten the guy, you threaten me all you want. Oh, you're going to threaten me with something I did? He would just tell you flat out that this is what I did. Yeah, I did this. What are you going to do about it? That's what they can't stand about this guy. See, these politicians, they can be controlled because you can say, we're going to make this public. We're going to tell the people that you were... that this honey trap that we set for you. This is why, some of these guys are idiots. You look at somebody, some of these clowns that are elected, you know, they get approached by a beautiful woman or whatever. And they think that they're so powerful and so wonderful that this beautiful woman wants them, you know, so they sneak off. And all of a sudden, these pictures show up of them with this person. The FBI finds out about it somehow. And they go to them in secret and they say, hell, we've got this information. This kind of stuff's out there. Just want to let you know. And we'll try to protect you with this stuff, but we can't protect you completely. But, you know, play ball with us and we'll make sure that this stuff stays quiet. This is the way they manipulate these people. They get dirt on them. The politicians are so afraid of their constituents voting them out because, it'll be a scandal if they find out that I did this. So they get scared and they play ball with the deep state. Military industrial complex, whatever it is, their donors all of a sudden become the puppet masters for the puppet. Well, Donald Trump doesn't play like that. Jim Comey shows up at the president's office, has a little personal meeting with him. Hey, we've got this dossier. I just want to let you know this kind of information's out there. And, you know, we'll do what we can. But, you know, just want to let you know it's there. What was Donald Trump's reaction to that? You're fired. Not going to play that game. Now, I don't know that he recognized it fully as it was at that time. I don't think he realized how bad it was at that time. He knows how bad it is now. NARA is just another puppet of the people who run NARA. This knucklehead that was running the place, the inspector behind this whole thing, I don't know if he actually works for NARA, but he's one of the people who behind this whole thing, got NARA involved, at least. He believes there's 24 more boxes that Donald Trump has just destroyed. Can't prove that they exist. Here again, we go with this whole thing of we don't know that they exist. It's all speculation, but we believe there's 24 more boxes that he just destroyed, and we don't know where they are. Or he's hidden them somewhere, or whatever he's doing with them. Maybe he sold them to some foreign agent. Because, you know, he's such an enemy of he hates our country so much. He's such a traitor. That's what they're trying to make this guy out to be. So is he America first, or is he a traitor? Is he an isolationist, or is he a traitor? Because they call him both things. This gets really old, listening to all this doublespeak, hypocrisy, baloney that we continue to hear all the time. Well, folks, it is Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow morning will be a very busy morning for me. Boat's going in the water at 11 o'clock, so hopefully I will have a show. It will be a very early show. Now, next week, every day, there will be a show every day, as far as I know. Unless I go camping, which I don't think it's going to happen during the week, at least. It's probably not going to happen. But I was hoping it was going to happen over the weekend. It might happen next weekend. I might go camping, but I don't know how it's going to work. We'll see how it all works. In the meantime, we will continue to press on. We need to continue to pray for our nation. As this month begins to unravel or unfold or whatever it's doing, I'm actually looking forward to this summer. I don't know about you, but this is finally. I think it's going to be. I hope it's going to be a good summer, just an enjoyable time for my life. It's been a lot of hard work up until now, and I'm not saying it's going to be, goofy, crazy fun. But it's going to be a much more interesting, I think, summer this summer than most have been. So hopefully that's the case for you. We'll see how the next few days unroll, because that'll make a difference, but we'll see how it all goes. In the meantime, God bless. Have a great rest of your week into the weekend, and I will try to talk to you for a short time at least tomorrow morning. In the meantime, do what you can. God bless you.